Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It is the Newcastle Fan Show here on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm glad to say in the studio I've been joined by Aaron Stokes and Love Sport's very own Laurie Kellis, otherly known as Logan, affectionately known as Logan. I hope you're both well.
I tell you what, there's actually a bit more atmosphere in here right now than there has been at some games in the last few seasons.
Well, it is a packed show, like I've said tonight, the first of many Newcastle fan shows, and there is a lot to cover. Where do we all start? Like we said, Benitez has gone. Perez has gone. Rondon has gone. Steve Bruce is in. Mike Ashley is still here. We're just over a week away from the Premier League season. The first game against Arsenal. What a tough opener that is. And of course, today is 10 years to the day that Newcastle legend Bobby Robson passed away. We're going to be talking a little bit about that, a little bit how the transfers market has gone for you guys pre-season. We're going to be covering it all, and of course we might not do a club legend, we might do a club cult hero, but we'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. First though, let's start off the main talking points where we have to. Let's start, before we talk Steve Bruce, let's start with Rafa. How big of a blow and loss was this, Aaron?
I mean, yeah, I think Rafa's departure obviously just can't be understated. You know, he had three seasons at the club, three full seasons, and it was always a case of every summer you didn't know whether he was still going to be there in the August. So I think fans were sort of used to it. The season finished in May on such a high, that win at Fulham, and then it was just obviously just they just had to hope and pray that they were going to get Benitez, you know, obviously signed up. I don't think there's anybody on Tyneside that, you know, feels any malice towards Benitez for leaving. I think everybody understands why he had to. It's just that was obviously just the worst start of the summer, and it just hasn't improved at all. So yeah, it's been a bit of a struggle.
You mentioned there then Rafa Benitez. Every year it was like, will he stay, won't he stay? That can't be healthy. I know the fans wanted him to stay, but when that hangs over the club, it's not good, is it? Because you sort of like, how do we plan? Because we don't know if Rafa is going to leave himself, he's going to walk, or he's going to be lured away by a bigger club.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think that just speaks to how Ashley runs the club in general. You can talk about the stuff with the takeover as well. Like, obviously, in his interview, how long ago could he have come out and said, oh, actually, I haven't had a bid? You know, it's the same thing. And I think one thing that's quite hard to describe in terms of Rafa is quite how loved he was in the city. If you haven't been there and experienced it, I remember being in the stadium when we beat Tottenham 5-1. We'd already gone down, Rafa had come, everyone wanted him to stay. First minute to half time, honestly, there wasn't another song sang. It was absolutely unbelievable atmosphere, and just the way that he subscribed to the city, as much as there was still a lot of discontent around for Ashley, it gave him a little bit of a break because there was a certain level of distraction. And when that kind of discontent rose to the top again, it was every time, oh, we're not sure whether Rafa's going to stay. And then obviously this summer, it went on for so long. Apparently he's told them in May that he's leaving, and Ashley's not come out and said anything. And you know, they've had 2 months to get a very underwhelming appointment.
Now, I'm not clever by no stretch of the imagination, but I know from outside how much Newcastle means to the community, it means to the city. The fans adore the team. They live for the badge, they live for the club. If I'm Mike Ashley, and we've seen how Rafa was taken by the fans, they loved him, why hasn't he tapped into this? Surely you don't need to be a good businessman to know, if I do right by the fans and I try hard and put effort, look, I'm not always going to get it right, but no one's expecting that, then they're going to work with me, they're going to be for me. Why hasn't he just done that simple thing, it seems to me?
I think a lot of Newcastle fans and people in the city have just gave up trying to work out what goes through Mike Ashley's head, because it was a no-brainer. If Mike Ashley wants to keep Newcastle in the Premier League just purely to finish 17th every season, even keeping Benitez would have done that. You knew with Rafa Benitez, you were never going to get relegated. So, I mean, it doesn't make business sense, because, you know, there's a real chance the club would go down this season under Bruce, I believe. And I just think it just made no sense, because Mike Ashley's been hated on Tyneside for so long. You would think any reasonable businessman would want to try and get the fans back on side, and he's done the exact opposite by, you know, obviously not keeping Benitez, when Benitez has said all summer that he wanted to stay.
But it didn't start like that, did he? Because I remember all the media images of Ashley in the Newcastle top, in the away end, down in pints, like, wee, like, Jack the lad, I'm one of the people. Nah, he wouldn't be let near the away end, would he?
No, and he said in his interview, he said, I'll maybe be there on the first game of the season. I'd be very surprised if
he turned up. Not a bright idea.
Nah, but this is the thing why it's so disappointing. Like, you know, people talk about Steve Bruce being a safe pair of hands. He's got relegated from the league twice. He's got 28% win percentage or something in the Premier League, which is the second worst out of any manager who's managed over 200 odd games or something. It's just not a logical appointment. And even Rafa's gone, fine. If he claims that he couldn't keep him, then that's an opportunity for Ashley to show a little bit of ambition, maybe take a risk on a young European coach who's going to play a bit of attractive football and maybe have a better scouting connection than Steve Bruce would. But it just seems like it's just absolutely just devoid of footballing ambition.
I agree with that. I think Ashley could have rectified the sort of the fume amongst the fans if he just went for someone like that. Someone like, tried to go and get Gerrard or Arteta or Kike Sanchez Flores, or yeah, just a young European hungry manager, not somebody who, one, hasn't managed in the Premier League for 5 years, 4 years, and one who hasn't been appointed to a Premier League team for about 10 years. So I think it was obviously just a culmination of Rafa getting sacked, and then there's just no ambition to replace him with anyone who, you know, nobody would have picked Bruce to replace him. No
how
fan.
Attractive are Newcastle then as a project, as a club? Because we know, we said they're a sleeping giant. We know what they can be. But at the minute, we've seen the fans protest. We've seen what's going on with Mike Ashley. Isn't any young European coach, any young British coach, they're going, I don't want to get involved in that in a minute. I think I need to stay away for a few years until they sort of steady the ship.
Well, I'm not being funny. Like, you can say that, and, you know, I'm not one of them Newcastle fans, and to be honest, I don't think there's many. I think this is an unfair characterisation of Newcastle fans that think we should still be in the Champions League. I don't think anyone's asking for that. But on the other side of the coin, Rafa Benitez came to the club. He saw like what potentially could be done with Newcastle United. There's so much potential. It doesn't need saying. Everyone who's listening is going to know that. But that's why it just frustrates me when people say it's not an attractive prospect. People don't want to move to the northeast. Like, you know, Newcastle's a great city. A lot of people go to Manchester, go to Liverpool. And yeah, obviously Man City, Man United, Liverpool at the minute have much more footballing opportunity for players. But the fact is that an owner with ambition who wants to sign the right players can do more to attract players to Newcastle than the current regime is doing.
Well, this is what I meant. I think it is an attractive place to go and manage, but I went, under Ashley, it's not. I'm talking about if he's still there, you don't want to go there, because how long is your managerial tenure there? Because, you know, he might get rid of you in 6 months. It's not a safe place to be, is it? That's what I meant. I think it is attractive, but under Ashley, it completely is the other way.
I think Benitez came in under Ashley, and I think even Benitez underestimated how bad Ashley is as an owner, because, yeah, Benitez, I think we did well to keep a hold of him for as long as we did, because every year it was promises off Ashley that weren't getting met. So like you say, any coach worth his salt is just going to look at what's happened Benitez and went, you can tell me I'm going to get X, Y, and Z through the door and I'm not even going to get A. So I do agree with what you're saying, and any sort of young coach, you know, probably isn't going to be attracted by Newcastle over like an Everton or a Leicester. But Benitez has shown, even with a little bit of investment, that, you know, to get to finish 10th in his first season back in the Premier League, you know, there's still 52,000 there every week. The city, you know, still follows the club, football club, despite Ashley being there. So, yeah, it's just... But I think until Ashley goes, it is going to be a case of we can't push on to anywhere near what we used to be like when I was sort of young.
Well, Rafa has gone and Ashley is still there. But the man in charge now is Steve Bruce. And it's sort of a mixed reaction, to say the least, to be generous to Steve. Fans not really overly pleased about this. How do you two feel about the appointment?
I wouldn't agree with the fact that it's mixed. I think it's 95% discontent, if not more than that. And I think, to be honest, there's been in the past, there's a real kind of split in the fan base between this kind of support the team, not the regime, and Ashley out at all costs. And I really think the balance has tipped now. And I think you will see on the first day of the season at that Arsenal game, some people have said they don't think it will be that significant. people definitely haven't bought season tickets, but I really think there'll be a good chunk of fans not there, and it will be noticeable. Now, in the past, Newcastle's had more minor boycotts where the club haven't necessarily been honest about the attendance. I don't think they're going to be able to get away with this time. I think it's going to be quite obvious that there's a lot of fans not there.
Well, you just said then it's 95% that aren't happy with this appointment. Steve Bruce is aware of that, and this is what he had to say.
I seen a so-called demonstration the other day. There was 12 people involved in it. You know, it sometimes can be blown out of proportion. I'm convinced that come the first game of the season, the supporters will be like they always are, right behind the team. Look, as I've said many times, I'm not everybody's cup of tea with getting the job. I understand that, you know, but I'll give it as good as what I can do. I think I've, you know, acquitted myself okay over the last 20 years. Hopefully the experiences that I've had will stand me in good stead, because the easy thing would have been to say, no, I'm quite happy here at Sheffield. And, you know, the decision was, I've got to have a go and have a crack at this. And I would have regretted it if I hadn't took it. Mike has offered his support, and that can only be a good thing. You know, he came up to the training ground the other day for the first time in a couple of years. It can only be a good thing for the football club and to move the football club forward. I think that's the biggest challenge, though, Simon, is to take the club forward. You know, it was only in the championship 2 years ago.
Well, there you have it. Steve Bruce talking to TalkSport there. He has taken a job. Why are fans so displeased at this appointment? Is it because it's Steve Bruce and it's lack of ambition, or is it because it's Ashley and Rafa's gone?
I think it's a bit of both. I think that clip just sort of goes quite a long way to explaining why Newcastle fans aren't happy with Bruce. It's because Rafa Benitez would have never said that. He would have never came out and said, well, there was only 12 players at that, 12 fans at that demonstration.
That's not going to help him, is it?
Yeah, Bruce was sort of laughing, mocking the fact that fans want to boycott. So, and I think, you know, Bruce has then gone on to, you know, praise Ashley in a good light. And, you know, it's just, we've had this before. We had it with Carver and McLaren and Pardew. They are just yes men. Whatever Ashley tells them, they'll do. We didn't break our transfer record for 13 years before Benitez came in. So it's just that sort of type of manager, your Bruce, your Pardew, who will just go in and just be grateful for having a Premier League job with an owner like Ashley. And Bruce says he wants to kick the club on, but I don't think he's got the chance to. And I don't think he would put his foot down and say, look, Mike, I'm going to go if there isn't investment, whereas Benitez did.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And for me, definitely, I think we see Bruce as a championship level manager now. He hasn't got the way the game's moved on, he hasn't got the tactical nous to manage in the Premier League. But particularly what he said there in that statement, I think for me, the most frustrating line there is when he says, oh yeah, the club was only in the championship 2 seasons ago. Bear in mind that in the Premier League era, like we hadn't been relegated before Mike Ashley came. We've been relegated twice under Mike Ashley. And that's not the sort of ambition that I want to hear from my new coach if he's trying to win us over. He shouldn't be saying, oh, look, 2 seasons ago we were in the Championship. He should be saying, where could we be in 2 seasons' time? And I'm not saying top four. I'm just saying, like, let's look forwards, not backwards. And say, like, he's shooting himself in the foot before he's even started by saying, oh, well, you know, we're lucky to be in the league.
Can he win over the fans then? That's the ultimate question. Can Steve Bruce win over the fans after this rocky and shaky start?
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by Laurie Callis and Aaron Stokes. And I'm delighted to say we have former Newcastle forward on the line, Joe Allen. Joe, we've just been talking about Rafa's out, Steve Bruce is in. How do you feel about Steve Bruce?
First of all, good evening, Charlie, Aaron, Laurie. Great to speak to you.
Thanks for coming on.
Hey, I'd have more respect for Steve Bruce. I mean, I loved him as a player. Managed to play against him a few times over the years. And he's a Geordie lad, but I would have had more respect for him if he'd turned the job down. You know, I mean, if he's a true supporter, he wouldn't work for this tyrant, you know. Basically, he's Mike Cashley's puppet. That's all he is, you know. I mean, in the club, Bruce saying all the right things, you know. But they've brought in this Joe Linton. That's for the lads. If you need an interpreter, by the way. If you need an interpreter through the night, just give us a tinkle, because they're not too bad, these lads, I tell you. But he's been brought in, like, 35 to 40 million, allegedly. He scored 7 goals in 26 games for the German side, Hoffenheim. Panic buy. Last season, we bought Almiron from the MLS, right? I'm not sure if he can handle the Premier League. He's quick, he's slight, he's got no goals. He needs a goal, and he's got to hit the ground running. So that's 60 million quid on two players, right? That... tells me the recruitment's been panic buys from an owner who probably won't even meet the lads. He'd not even meet Steve Bruce for more than a couple of times during Bruce's tenure, however long that may be, because to be pretty much the same relationship as the owner had with Rafa Benitez. You know, so at the minute, it's things like this that's getting the fans down. But I've got a couple of good points that I need to make. There's a boycott Arsenal game, right? And it's a great way of raising awareness and hitting the owner where it hurts him, and that's in his pocket, right? The fans are uniting together, right? It's gathering great momentum. I mean, if the Twitter are following, right, that they all get together, and I mean the Magpie group, right, fantastic guys, 15,000 have got the www.nufftrust.co.uk, they've got around 10,000, Nuff360, he's got 30,000. Steve Race, good pal of mine, 20,000 himself. And I understand that they're not all season ticket holders, but that's a massive amount of people. And if you get the Arsenal supporters, who they said their bit, they said that they're not happy with their club, so they were going to boycott the game. But to boycott Arsenal, basically, collectively, the supporters and the huge fan base, not only in this country, but around the world, because we don't want another 12 years of them. Ashley has no intention of selling the club, right? He's asset stripping the club with a land that he sold to himself for next to nothing. It's simply a case of Ashley out, and the one aim for us all is to get rid of this person.
Joe, you've touched on it there. Obviously, there's a massive sort of Twitter following, and there's, you know, been some great sort of hype ripped up about this boycott. But do you think it has just been a case of, you know, it being all talk, or do you think come next Sunday there will be just, you know, half a stadium there?
Well, I'd like to think that, because I mean, there's a lot of effort went into this, and the supporters, as you well know, this is the time now to vote with their feet. This is the time now not to do the boycott that last time. You know, at 2:30, there was 10,000 people outside the main entrance, and by 3:02, they're all in the ground. You know, and I mean, it's got to be done right. And I think the people that's getting together, the supporters factions, and if they're all pulled together, I think it can be done. And people are being very positive about getting rid of somebody that's poisoning our football club. You know what he's like. I mean, he's come out and done this interview again the other day, which it just wants to get the supporters' backs up, you know. And they've had enough. They've basically had enough, and it's time to get rid of this greedy, greedy person.
Hi, Joe. I think that it sums up exactly where the club is at the minute, that we've just made a £40 million signing and the fans aren't even that excited about it. And it's because we've obviously let our two top scorers go and sign someone who's definitely a risk, who Rafa didn't want and who absolutely needs to hit the ground running. I'm just wondering where you think we need to strengthen on top of that, because obviously we really need goals, but, you know, it doesn't look like we've gone about our transfer business in a way that's like targeting exactly what we need.
Well, this is my point, as I said before, as regarding the recruitment area. I mean, I could be head of recruitment and go and spend £60 million on two players. I mean, where you're strengthening, I would have said we definitely need a centre-back, we need a midfield player, and we need another winger. As well as a goal scorer, that's not going to get you 7 goals a season. You've got to get 20-plus a season. That's what top strikers get paid for. They get paid to put the ball in the net, right? It's a thing that wins games in football matches. It's not about all the fancy play and defending and what have you. It's about scoring more goals than what they score. And that wins your games, you know? And that's what's rankling me at the minute, because that £40 million is not on... hey, you might have fantastic potential, and I'm not having a go at the lad. But, you know, we need it now. Not in 7 years' time when his contract's coming up to an end. And will he be there for 7 years? I don't know. Just the other thing, lads, I sort of love this year. It's obviously 10 years. I know you might be mentioning it later, but the late greats of Bobby Robson, you know, and the millions raised by the man. Great legacy of a great, great man. Had the chance to meet him a few times during my career. In fact, when I got picked for England under 21s, he was the manager of the full side. And by the way, I was the only player in the history of English football to get 2 caps in the same day.
What
me first and
Joe.
Me last.
That is a special
me
achievement.
Me first and me
eh?
Last.
Yeah, but thanks.
Me
he's
first
always...
and me last.
Thanks to remember.
Oh, well, lads, you've got to get it. You've got to get the Geordie. You've got to get the...
I'm still learning it, Joe. I'm still learning it. I just want to quickly ask then. You said that you'd have had more respect for Steve Bruce had he not taken a job. But I was just asking Aaron and Laurie beforehand, is there a way that he can actually win over the fans in the season? Can he get them on side? Is there any chance of that at all?
I don't think it's possible, to tell you the truth. To be fair, it's not his fault, as I say, but I just don't think it's possible. You've got to imagine as well and remember that he's an ex-Sunderland manager. Mm. I mean, it's like, you've probably got more chance of me winning my ex-mother-in-law over. And she used to drive the ghost train and the Hopmans. But, I mean, this is the thing with Bruce. He's come out now and he's just saying all the things that a puppet would say, all the things that a yes man would say. And, you know, the fans are not thick up here, man. You know, they've got a great knowledge of football. We've got a beautiful city. And the only thing that's spoiling it is a minute is the bloke that's in charge of the football club, the owner, you know. And, hey, we want to win football matches. We want to win games. But at the end of the day, we need to get rid of this poison at the club.
Joe, I just want to go back to Sir Bobby, because obviously he's one of a few people quite recently who, you know, no one at Newcastle, or to be honest, in football, has a bad word to say about him, but particularly in Newcastle, there's him, there's Kevin Keegan, and to be honest, there's Rafa Benitez, who's got that kind of reputation. I just want to ask you what you think Sir Bobby's response will be to how the club's being run at the minute.
Well, this is the thing, you've got to remember as well that Sir Bobby was sacked by the football club. Yet, you've mentioned the three names then, throw along the Kevin Keegans, your Malcolm McDonalds, right, your Shearers, your Jackie Milburns, and the great players that have wore and represented the football club. And, you know, the icons, and you mentioned the three there, they're iconic. They're just not an ordinary manager, certainly weren't ordinary players. And the thing is, you know, that he'll always be remembered for how much of a gentleman Sir Bobby was. But I don't think, because I have heard him curse on a number of occasions, yeah, I think there'd be a few blue words in the air, put it that way, if he's seen what was going on, because you've got to remember as well, Sir Bobby Robson loved this football club. He absolutely adored this football club.
A few choice words there. Joe, we really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for joining us this evening, guys. On the Newcastle Fan. Take care, Joe. All the best.
Bye-bye.
Joe Allen there, former Newcastle forward. He just said it's going to be a hard job for Steve Bruce to win over the fans. I didn't get to ask you two before we went to a break. Can he win over the fans? You two are fans. Can he win you over? Can he get your love?
I mean, Newcastle fans have obviously shown over the last 12 years that I obviously don't want to, don't miss in a disrespectful way, but they are a sort of a fickle bunch. And the fact that those boycotts meant to be sort of earlier this year, and the second Mike Ashley spent 20 million on Almiron, broke the transfer record, the boycotts got cancelled. So, obviously,
it's not good if you don't commit.
Yeah. That's the thing. If I think this has been a turning point, though, I think there's never been this much sort of disinterest. I don't think the fans have ever been this disheartened since Ashley's came in. So, I think if they were ever going to boycott and ever going to sort of just not go back no matter what, it would be this time. But if Bruce somehow manages to pull four wins out the bag before the start of September, fans probably will think, you know what, we're going to have to go back.
Yeah, I would say you're absolutely right, Aaron. I think the thing is, you could say in some ways Steve Bruce is unfortunate. I'd say he's brought it on himself. If he was a real Geordie, he probably wouldn't have accepted the job. But, you know, play devil's advocate, say, you know, it's his one chance to manage Newcastle, fine, he's going to come and manage us. I don't think people in their minds can separate the idea of him and the Ashley regime at the minute, because he represents the lack of ambition. He represents what comes after Rafa. He represents Rafa leaving the football club. And yeah, Newcastle fans are ambitious. We like to see investment in our football club, and we like to see people who think that the football club can go a long way. But we're not unrealistic either. There's plenty of examples of players who you can think of in the past who aren't massively gifted, but like do everything for the shirt. James Perch, good example. You know, everyone called him utility man.
Fans want effort, commitment, and desire before a lot of other things. Well, don't they? If you show that, you've won the fans over.
Well, exactly. So what I'm saying is, but as I said before, Steve Bruce has already got off on the wrong foot by saying stuff like, "Oh, we were in the Championship 2 years ago." Mike Ashley's come to the training ground, and I think he's got his mind in the right place, and he's got ambition. Like, what is the point of him saying that if he's trying to win the fans over? Because it's just blatantly not true.
It's unfair on the players as well for me, because that squad that have been playing under the ref for like the last 3 years have got such a good bond. You've got players like Matt Ritchie and Lascelles who will give anything for the shirt. And I think there's a lot of Newcastle fans that will be upset that they can't go and watch this squad, you know what I mean? Because even though they're not the best in terms of ability, Newcastle fans have enjoyed going to watch them because they know they will give 100%. So that might be another reason that, you know, fans maybe do go back a month in the season if they think, well, you know, I'm, you know, it's between now and January, nothing's going to happen, I might go back. But it's the players I feel for more than sort of Bruce and more than for the owners.
Well, we've been talking about Steve Bruce, but let's bring it on to a more positive note, because Joe Allen did mention Bobby Robson there, and it is 10 years to the day of his sad passing. And what a legend he was. And I remember, Laurie, you just said at the start of the show, your first sort of, not first memories of Newcastle, but the ones that you're really fond of were Newcastle in the Champions League, as they were in mine. I remember Newcastle playing in the Champions League. Bobby Robson was the manager, and it was just such good times. What a loved figure he was. But I know what he means to Newcastle and the fans of Newcastle, but he was loved in football, wasn't he? Full stop.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think it was interesting to hear Mourinho talking about him. Obviously, he was under him at Barca and calling him Mr. Robson and all this.
Mr.
And
Robson.
You don't hear Mourinho speak with that amount of respect very often. So, you know, he clearly made a massive impact. But everyone you talk to just said what a nice guy he was. I know, I remember he got that Lifetime Achievement Award from Sports Personality, and I think Alex Ferguson presented it. And yeah, just absolutely glowing references from everywhere. And I think on top of that, for Newcastle fans especially, it is associating that kind of bygone era of when we were playing in the Champions League. And you call it a bygone era, but it's when we were growing up, you know, and there's like crazy stuff happening, like Shola Ramiobi scoring against Barcelona, you know, like just stuff that just doesn't sound like you know what you're talking about now, but it actually did happen. And all that's tied around Bobby, and he's just going to be a legend forever.
That's the thing. When you hear stories of Bobby Robson, it's only the good. You never hear the bad. And that's because I don't think there was bad. I know you've got your Newcastle memories of him, but also England. I remember it was like Italia 90. I remember England beating Cameroon and Bobby Robson jumping up from the benches, David Platt scoring. And then when we went out, and he was the first one with the arm around the players, weren't he? That was a sort of like, it was different. It was just a tactile approach. Look, we're out. But he cared for his players. And a lot of his former players mentioned this sort of father-son-like relationship. It's very hard to have that with one person. He seemed to have it with a whole team, and especially Gazza. I remember there was a charity match and Gazza played, and Bobby Robson's son, they wheeled him out to tremendous applause. And apparently the first thing he said after the game, wasn't it, was, how did Gazza play? And then Gazza, I'm not afraid to say this, he starts welling up when he finds out that he said that. And then you as the viewer all started welling up, and I don't even support him, because it was just, what a man.
Yeah, I mean, what he did in football as well sort of gets overlooked, because during the 90s when he went, you know, one of those rare British coaches to, one, go abroad, one, to then win everything, to manage his country. And that, for me, it's, I remember when, I don't remember, but obviously when you watch sort of clips of the 90, the World Cup in the 90s, when, you know, obviously we went out to Germany, and you just see him so depleted on the bench, because he knew all he wanted to do was win the World Cup for his country. He was just so committed. And like you say, I haven't heard one bad word said about him by any players. And I think for Newcastle, the reason Rafa Benitez was so adored on Tyneside, despite not winning anything, is because he's the closest thing we've had to Sir Bobby Robson since Sir Bobby Robson. He, just like Sir Bobby, wanted and believed that Newcastle could be a top club. You would have never had McLaren or Pardew or Souness saying we want to be finishing the top six, top seven, because, but for Benitez and for Bobby, Bobby knew and truly believe that we could be the best team in the country. And that's why he was just so, so loved by fans.
I think you're so right, because we're only starting to see it now in the modern game, that some younger players are going to play abroad. They're getting loans to the Bundesliga, La Liga. We're seeing it now. British players are going to play abroad. We've had a foreign influx for years, but only now in 2019 we're seeing younger British players go. But Bobby Robson, he did go and manage abroad all that time ago, and it was never still to this day. It's never really been followed, has it? It's never, we don't really see a Brit managing a top European side. He done it decades ago. That just speaks to how good his ability was, doesn't it?
Yeah, completely. And like, you know, for him to one go to Holland and Portugal, I mean, you wouldn't even get that now. Like you say, never mind back then when the football, you know, probably wasn't watched worldwide and all that. So it does sort of get glossed over that. It's sort of like his career before Barcelona didn't really exist, which is a shame, because like I say, as well as he was obviously such a brilliant man, his footballing ability, I mean, even to take Newcastle, to have them battling for the top four every season, like, he proved how good he really was, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you think of like last few seasons, examples of English managers going abroad, probably a bit unfair on like someone like Gary Neville to compare them, but it just proves that it's not an easy thing to do. And the thing is that, as we've said, he was respected as a person, but he clearly was revered as well for his, like, nous and his footballing ability.
Well,
10 years to the day that Sir Bobby passed. What a legend he was, not just to Newcastle, but the whole footballing world. Next up, though, we're going to be talking about Newcastle's transfers and how their pre-season has fared.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by Laurie Callis and Aaron Stokes. We've been talking a little bit about Rafa's gone, Steve Bruce is in, we had Joe Allen on the phone, former Newcastle forward. Now, though, we're going to be looking at transfers. We did have a whole segment on this, and then Laurie, just as we went to a break, went, "What transfers?" So that sort of ruined that section, but we're going to talk about it anyway because you have broke your transfer record signing. So when you say what transfers, again, we moan as fans, but you have spent some money or you got some in for Pires. But let's talk about then your record transfer signing. How are you feeling? Because with this one, it's a bit strange because I feel you're buying potential over productivity at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. Just a quick one. If that's your impression of my accent,
I knew you were going to pick that.
I'd love you to hear you do Aaron's. But
it's coming up.
No, anyway, I think you're absolutely right. It's definitely a risk, is what it is. It's £40 million on someone who's been in the Bundesliga. Yeah, he's only 22, but he had two seasons in Austria, scored something like 15 goals and 60 odd appearances. Not great. Yeah, he would have been 19-year-old or whatever. But it's absolutely anything but kind of nailed on that he's going to score over 10 goals even, you know, because the Premier League is a different beast. Like, I'm not saying the Bundesliga is not a good league and you need similar attributes as a centre forward. You absolutely do. He looks like he's strong. He looks like he's quick. Compared to Rondon, he also looks like he's got more of an ability to dribble, maybe doesn't hold the ball up quite as well. So, yeah, there's clearly great things about him. It's just whether he can hit the ground running, because as I've said, we've sold our two top scorers, and you know, if he doesn't start scoring the goals, where else are they coming from? Fabian Scher now is our top scorer from last season, who's a defender. One thing I would say, Joe Allen said just before that he didn't think that Almiron could cut it in the Premier League. I actually disagree with that.
I mean,
yesterday it looked like they'd already developed a little bit of an understanding. I don't know, that's whether they're just like South American players and that, you know, they don't have the same kind of excuses as people seem to do in Europe and they just play. But I think that the way that Almiron played, sorry, just to change the subject slightly, last season was that he managed to link up the defence and attack in a way that we hadn't done, and that was really responsible for changing the way that we played in the middle of the last season. So I think, yes, he has to hit the ground running and he has to score goals, and it's really going to rely on particularly that relationship between them two, but it's definitely a risk.
I think just touching on Almiron there, I do watch the MLS. He was the one that everyone wanted. He was the star. He was the MVP, as it's known in MLS. He was the marquee player. And you've got to remember, their season's very different. It's played like from March
January
till
October.
Yeah, yeah, they play completely different to us. They play through the summer. When he signed in January, he'd already played a whole season for Atlanta, and he almost hit a wall. We know how demanding, physically demanding the Premier League is, you know. And it takes any player who joins from a foreign league, it takes him a while to bed into the formation, and I think you will see the best Almiron from September. Now he's had a summer off, now he's had a full pre-season. I think he's a very exciting player, another one you broke your transfer record on, so let's hope for good things for him. Aaron, you mentioned there then that fans can be fickle, you know, we're talking about protests, we need to be committed, and Newcastle fans are in this predicament at the minute where, you know, we're protesting at the club, but it's not about, oh, well, we've gone and spent £40 million on it. It's not about that. We want the club in harmony. We want Mike Ashley out. That doesn't just change things overnight, you know, but it can do, can't it? Let's say Steve Bruce starts winning, Almiron starts scoring, Joe Linton starts scoring, come August, September, we're doing all right. Fans will start to change, but that's not what the argument is here. It's about Ashley, isn't it? And we don't want fans to lose that sight.
The argument for me is that if that does happen in a perfect world, everything falls into place, Bruce starts winning, Almiron starts scoring, Joe Linton turns out to be amazing, that just proves Newcastle's fans' point that we've done the bare minimum in this transfer window and in the last year, and this is how it could be. This is that Almiron signing and the Joe Linton signing should be a tip of the iceberg. We still need to strengthen the left back. We still need another one or two in central midfield. We still need another winger on the other side. So like Newcastle fans, I myself feel so sort of fickle saying, being annoyed at the club when we've just spent £40 million, but the money is there. One from staying in the Premier League the last two seasons, one from selling Perez. When you think, if we sold Perez, Joe Linton's only really cost £10 million of sort of the club's own money. There needs to be more in terms of building an entire squad, which was what Rafa was trying to do, not just spending a lot of money on two attacking players and hoping that they're going to score 20 goals and sort of paper over the cracks.
I'd just say as well, Aaron's absolutely right, but if that scenario does happen...
You've not said I've been right once tonight, Laurie.
I've been right
You've been right all night.
No, I think...
You're not coming again.
Well, I mean, that just shows the kind of unity that's surrounding this this boycott. No, what I would say is, if that scenario does happen and we are doing well... The thing about that is, it's luck. It's that they've made these signings, they've took risks on them, and there aren't backup signings. So, by the way, if Joel Linton turns out to be terrible, we haven't actually signed anybody else. So, like, fine, yeah, he could go on and he could do a Papi Cisse and score 13 goals in however many games in a row. But actually, that, you know, that's like far from nailed on, as we've said. The other thing that I would like to say is, on that 40 million, as Aaron said, we sold Perez for 30 million. We somehow got some money for Hosselu. But Mike Ashley said in this interview, oh yeah, I've put my hand in my pocket and put 20 million of my own money towards that transfer. I mean, yeah, it's fine to say that. But actually, if you've got 30 million quid and then you have to get a 40 million, you know, how can you prove that it's your 10 million, your 20 million rather than just an extra 10? Like, he just... I don't know, it's just like another... It almost seems pointless that he would make that argument because no one's going to believe it. And the fact of the matter remains that if he has put 20 million of his own money in, then he's still kind of in profit from when he sold Perez anyway. So I just think that that's kind of blatantly ridiculous.
From a management side and owner side, they just think, oh, this will keep the fans happy. We're spending money. And I suppose in a way, yeah, we want investment in our football club. Yes, we want to be breaking our transfer record. Yes, we want to be signing players every window. We are happy about that. But that's not the be-all and end-all, is it? That's what think it wins it over. You know, Joe mentioned Arsenal there on a protest. Now Arsenal are potentially going to go and break their transfer record signing, so have you. But that's not what it's all about. Yeah, money helps a lot of things, but this is not what's connecting the fans, because you have a lot of money, you don't have a lot of money. They're going to be there for the badge, for the team, week in, week out, aren't they?
There's a deeper lying problem at Newcastle, and that is that Benitez has obviously came out and said since he left that he wanted to improve the training ground, he wanted to improve the facilities, he wanted to improve the academy. He did a lot of work in the community, and Ashley's just done none of that. So Benitez has came in 3 years ago and said, right, I want this training ground revamped. And then 3 years later, all they did was stick a, you know, a tin of paint on it. I'm not sure if you've seen the photo that went round about 6 months ago, but the players were, like, after a training session, like, cooling down in, like, a paddling pool outside the training ground. And they're just thinking, if that is, like, what a Premier League top table, like, top 10 club is having to use for their players, which just proves Ashley's just not bothered. So it's not just about spending money on players and making the fans happy. Benitez embodied the fact that he wanted more money pumped into other stuff away from the first team, and it just wasn't there. So yeah, it is just obviously spending 40 million on a player is all well and good on paper, but it's just paper over the cracks for me, because so much more should have been done this summer and for the last 3 years.
Well, you have spent money, but it's only really money that you got in. You have sold Perez, you've sold Rondon, and earlier David Coverdale was talking on the Bell and Sperling show just about how Rondon and Perez were feeling about leaving the club, and was it linked to Rafa? And here's what he had to say.
I think that will have had a big say in Perez leaving. I suppose the difference is Leicester triggered his release clause of 30 million. So whether Newcastle could have kept hold of Perez anyway, I'm not so sure. But I think Perez would have wanted to stay more if Rafa was there as well. They had a great bond. Rafa loved Perez as a player. I know Perez loved Rafa as a manager. And it was the same with Rondon, and Perez and Rondon together last season were brilliant for Newcastle. They were largely the reason they stayed up as comfortably as they did in the end. Mm. And Newcastle have lost all those goals this season. So that's, I think, 23 Premier League goals together that they're missing. So I know they've made a 40 million signing in Joe Linton, the Brazilian striker, but he's going to have to do a lot of work to get the goals that they're missing.
Absolutely. He's been quite honest about the money in China, but did you get the impression that he really wanted to stay at Newcastle?
I did, yeah. I do think he loved his time last season. He'd had 3 years at West Brom where he'd done okay, but he hadn't set the world on fire. and he came to Newcastle, the number nine. We all know how, you know, the fans get behind a number nine if they're doing well.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely loved up there, and he had such a good season that I'd say he played some of the best football he's played in his career. And I think he would have ideally kept going at Newcastle. And I know that's easy for him to say, and people will argue, well, he just wanted the money in China. But I really do think his preference was to stay in the Premier League. And after Newcastle didn't go for him, he was waiting for West Ham. He's worked with Manuel Pellegrini before in his career. And I think that would have been his next choice. I think Wolves were linked with him at one point as well. But I think in the end, the clubs he was hoping would come in for him didn't. The offer there from Rafa in China was there. And he thought, well, why not? I may as well go and cash in.
He made comments about his age. I mean, he's only 29. And he's certainly got several years left at the top. Does that sort of show that Mike Ashley, you know, he's got a lack of football knowledge, that, you know, he's considered Rondon too old?
Yeah, now this is a big issue at Newcastle and has been for a number of years. They did not want to sign Rondon last summer on a permanent deal, which is why they got him on loan. Rafa really wanted to get him on a permanent, but Newcastle thought, and then he was 28, but their policy is we're not going to pay big money and big wages for players who are approaching 30. And I think that's a flawed policy at times. 16.5 million for Rondon, a proven goal scorer,
yeah,
I think is good money in the current market. But the way Newcastle look at it is they won't be able to sell him on for bigger money. But it's really short-term thinking, in my opinion, that I don't think... Well, you could argue it's long-term thinking because they want to get young players in and sell them on. Mm. But Newcastle needed a proven goal scorer. And I think the money that they would have had to pay to get him compared to the money that they will lose if they're relegated, I think you look at it that way. And I think he would have been good business at 16.5 million.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Newcastle Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by Laurie Callis and Aaron Stokes. Now, we've just been talking transfers. We've mentioned that you've broke your record transfer signing, but sometimes it's not always about the players you sign. It's about the players you hold on to. It's about the players you keep and possibly even extend that contract. One of the ones we need to keep for sure, Sean Longstaff, Laurie, and I know you feel very passionate about this. Talk to me.
Well, I do. First of all, what I'd say is I really doubt that he's going to leave. And I think that's mainly because the reason that Ashley and Steve Bruce have come out and said he's absolutely not for sale is I think they know that the valuation is not going to be met for what they think he's worth. And they're probably looking at around 50 million at the minute. And I reckon, you know, like, fine, Sean Longstaff played, what is it, 6 Premier League games, and no one's worth 50 million. But as you always say, to the club, he is worth 50 million, because if they lose him, he's going to be so important, I think, coming into this season in the middle of midfield. And the thing about Sean Longstaff as well is he's, for me, like the most exciting academy player that we've had for a long time. Someone who looks like they really could go to the very top. Like, obviously, in the past, the North East has had like a pedigree of that sort of player, and it's been lacking a little bit, probably partly due to the fact that Ashley, you know, really hasn't invested in the academy. Now, what I would say about Sean Longstaff is personally, it's such a shame for him that as a Newcastle lad, he's come in and this is like the worst time for him to come in and play for the club. And I think in that scenario, if he did go to Man United, for example, I personally wouldn't begrudge him it, because he's got to look at himself as a footballer. And I think anyone who's seen him play, like he could be like a Michael Carrick kind of player for Man United. I do think he's that good. In that sense, the other thing I think about it is that the amount of money that he could be worth in a year's time, if he does have one really good Premier League season, maybe we get relegated, maybe we don't, they could kind of exponentially make gains on what they would get for selling him now. And, you know, I'm not going to put a stupid number out there because it'll go on social media and someone will be like, Laurie said Sean Longstaff's worth £500 million.
Love Sport exclusive.
But that's the reason I do think he won't go. And for me, he's one of very few positives that at the club at the minute. Me and Aaron were just saying, for both of us, it's the first season in a long time where not at all are we looking forward to the first game of the season. This summer could go on forever. I just watched the cricket. Honestly, I just...
Really?
I'm just not looking forward to it, and that's never happened before. I love football. But Sean Longstaff is one of the very few positives for me at the club at the minute.
Aaron, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with much of that at all. I think Manchester United.
You would or you wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't. Sorry, no, I wouldn't.
Oh,
I wouldn't disagree with it.
Oh, I thought he said wouldn't agree. I went what?
Sorry, yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree.
The bromance is over.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with much of that. I think Manchester United won't pay $50 million for him, you know, despite how desperate they are, you know, to spend big. And I think Steve Bruce has probably came in. The one thing he's probably said is, I can't lose any more fans, and I think losing
that would have been a final now
losing,
in the coffin, wouldn't
losing
it?
Sean Longstaff this season when he could be potentially so good. And like, you know, Laurie touched on, there's so few young players that come through the academy and make their name. The last one was probably Andy Carroll, and that was, he left 10 years ago. So there's a case to be made that, you know, if they sort of come out and say, oh, well, we've kept Longstaff this summer, then, you know, fans are going to be like, well, fair play. Because he could go all the way to the top. I know he's only played about 10 games, but he looks so good. Really good.
He does look like you have a player on your hands. But we're saying, oh, we could go. Man United are in for him. We see, you know, when they want someone, they went and spent the money on a youngster. Wan-Bissaka went for $50 million. That's why the $50 million has been mentioned for Longstaff. But no one really mentions what Longstaff wants. He might want to stay at Newcastle, you know. He might want to stay there for the next few years and develop. He might not want to go and fight for a place at United. That's never really talked about, is it, Laurie?
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of what I was trying to say before. Like, obviously he's a Newcastle lad. He wants to represent Newcastle at the highest level possible. But at the minute, clearly he's a Newcastle fan like the rest of us, and it must just be so depressing, like as well as it being really exciting, because obviously nothing's going to be able to take away the fact that he's going to be playing Premier League football for Newcastle United, which is what he'll have been waiting to do for his whole life. But at the same time, it almost couldn't have come at a worse time. I think one interesting thing about Sean Longstaff, which, you know, is another reason why there could be something really special for him to stay, is that obviously his little brother Matty is also in the academy, and they actually made the first senior start to get together in pre-season, or first senior appearance anyway, and he could be really good as well. And I just think, like, what a story it would be amongst all the misery if kind of mid-season Matty Longstaff manages to break into the team, or even in a season's time or whenever, and Sean and Matty playing alongside each other in the centre midfield for Newcastle, two Geordie boys. Like, honestly, I can't describe how much the fans would love that.
The fans would buzz over that. You can imagine, you can see the headlines now. You can imagine when one Sean Longstaff is starting, his brother comes on as a sub, the crowd are up. We hope he stays. He is going to stay this season. Let's hope he stays for a little while longer than that. But let's talk about the season ahead then. You've just said you're not really excited for it, and you love football, Laurie. You're not really looking forward to not only the first game, but the season, really. And it's a shame you don't want the new season to come around. But what are your expectations for the new season? Or is there any at all, Aaron?
I think I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just can't see anything other than a relegation struggle. And I think, you know, I've said this to, like, friends that, you know, have no affiliation to Newcastle United, and they say, well, yeah, but there's three or four teams worse than you. Is there really? I mean, the squad is, I wouldn't say the squad's a championship squad, but Rafa Benitez made that squad so much better than
their potential.
Really was,
yeah.
Because if you look at just some of the pre-season games we've had, these players, their organisation, their shape have just looked like they've never been coached by Benitez before, because you knew when he was on the touchline barking his orders, he had them exactly where he wanted them. And obviously with Bruce having, you know, has the game passed him by? Is he still a Premier League manager? Probably not. So I think it'll be tight, but I think we'll be down there in the bottom five by the come May, unless we obviously spend in the next week or spend in January.
Yeah, for the last time in the show, I'm going to absolutely agree with Aaron there. I personally think, yes, out of all of the teams, there's one clear team that's worse than us, that's Brighton. They're a horrific football team. I don't know how they didn't get relegated last season. but other than that, I really would worry. So yeah, I'm not looking forward to the season. I think we could easily go down. It's kind of summed up by the fact that Jack Colback's back in the mix. He wants the ginger pirlo, but I mean, he's just not good enough, honestly. And yeah, I worry that we'll get relegated.
Well, there is worry that they might get relegated. Laurie says relegation. Aaron says Aaron says bottom five. I reckon it could be a better season than that. Will Steve Bruce win the fans over? Will I win Laurie over? He didn't agree with me all show, but there's always next week on the Newcastle Fan Show here on Love Sport.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.